The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
And it's good to be here. I'm so grateful to be able to preach the gospel. I was born to do this. Timothy talked about it, but at the age of 7, the Lord called me 5 days before my 5th birthday and told me that I was called to preach the gospel, to take a flame to the nations, to go to the nations of the world. At that time, we were praying about coming to the U.S. And mom was praying, and we got the word of the Lord that we'll go to the nations of the world. We'll even go to the United States of America. And he said, you'll preach the gospel. You'll become a household name, and you'll defeat the spirit that tried to torment your family. And he said, I've anointed your voice. Back to a handheld. I've anointed your voice. I've anointed every part of you, and you shall do it. And so I'm grateful to be in my calling now. I was born to do this. Usain Bolt was born to run. I was born to run with the fire of God. I was born to preach the gospel. I was called by God. God graces everyone he calls. You need to write that down. God graces everyone he calls. If God's called you to do something, you're not waiting for grace to do it. You have the grace to do it. The Bible says, Paul said that he would equip you with everything you need to do your will. It's God's opportunity. He called you to equip you. But I don't have the money to obey God. That's his responsibility. The Bible says no soldier goes to war at his own expense. When God calls, you're in his army now. And God calls and he equips. So it's a fulfillment of prophecy for me to be up here preaching the gospel to you. And it's a privilege as well. Turn with you in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. You know, the currency of receiving is hunger. We know that God is no respecter of persons, but that doesn't mean he's no respecter. He respects hunger. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, on God's part, he's made up his mind. He says, when he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when you come into church today, there's two ways to go to do church. There's the speculation, there's those who come to speculate, and those who come to participate. The woman with the issue of blood came to participate. She said, if there's healing to be had, I'm going to have it. She said, I don't care what anyone else does, I'm getting healed. And she pressed through the crowd. I'm not asking you to come and storm the stage here. But in your heart, that's what hunger is. It's pressing through the crowd. It's pressing past the veil of the flesh. That as you come and hear the word of God, you say, God, I'm going to receive today. I'm receiving healing from my body. It's a choice. It's a make up your mind. It's up to you. The price has been paid. You know, there's things we look forward to, and that's called hope. We're waiting for a day when Jesus returns. We're waiting for a day when the Lord Jesus himself splits the sky. And that's our hope. But everything else that Christ has paid for is called an inheritance. And it's ours now. My hope is heaven. My inheritance is healing. My inheritance is peace of mind. I want to tell you, you don't have to live stressed out. You don't have to have stress. Stress is not a sign that you're busy. Stress is a sign that you haven't figured out who you are in Christ yet. Stress is not a badge of, hey, you're getting things done. It's a sign of, I don't know who I am yet. It hasn't been revealed to me that I'm a son of God. Stress is the little brother of fear. And fear is not of God. God has not given you a spirit of fear. When he said, I am giving you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Stress, where'd my water go? Can I have that water? Thank you. Stress and anxiety are spawns of fear, and they're a work of the devil. God wants to bring us to a place where we don't worry about anything. I haven't worried about anything since July of last year. I finally figured out how to not carry stress. I don't remember the day, but it was July of last year. I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary of being stress free. I got married 2 years ago. You would have thought I had more stress by now, but it's been the best 2 years of my life. Hey, hallelujah. Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, I'm leaving from the New Living Translation, when you receive his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. You know, when you come into a church service like this, you have two options. You have an option to sit and listen. And all you do is just sit and listen. And you'll say, hey, that's a good note. That's a good word. I agree with that. But then there's those who put a demand on the word. For many people in here, today will be the day of your deliverance from disease. That's a fact. Or I'm not preaching the gospel. For many of you in here today, it'll be the last day you ever carry worry in your life. For many of you today, it'll be your day of deliverance. Today. Because the power of God is present for that today. Because the word of God is powerful today. Hebrews 4:12 says, and the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Even today and every time the word of God is preached, you have a decision to make. Today's going to be my day. I'm pressing in and I'm receiving from the word, receiving from my body, receiving from my marriage, receiving from my finances, receiving from my future. Or you have the option to say, I'm going to let this one go by. I don't feel like it. Man, so many things have been done. People say, you know, I didn't feel like going to church. Stop listening to your feelings. Your feelings will lead you straight to hell. Feelings don't get you into heaven. Feelings don't get you successful in anything. Feel like it. I don't do it because I didn't feel like it. I didn't want to just come to church it's religion. I didn't want to just do it out of a habit. No, do it out of a discipline, a godly discipline. Y'all are here because you know that it's right to honor the Lord. But today, as the word of God is preached, open up your heart today. Choose to be like the church in Thessalonica that say, I'm not receiving this as men's ideas. I'm receiving this as what it is, the very word of God. Open up your heart today, and today is a day for you to receive and to see breakthrough, even today. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then turn with me to 1 Peter 1:22. It's funny when Tim got up here and he was talking and he said, I like seeing how the Lord orchestrates these services. And we heard that last song and Tim began to speak. We didn't sit down before and be like, what are you going to preach on today? We're brothers, but that's not how this works. What are you going to preach on today? All right, well, you're going to do that and then I'm going to do this and this is perfect. I joked around earlier today that I was going to preach on the biblical count of giants and UFOs. I said, that's a way to never get invited back. I'm not really preaching on that. My sermon title for you today is Living in Expectation from the Word of God. Living in Expectation from the Word of God. This is a message the Lord gave me the other day. Living in Expectation from the Word. What the devil tries to do, one of his greatest plans, is he tries to get people to undermine and to lightly esteem the Word of God. But I'm going to talk to you today about the nature of God's Word. The nature of God's word, the power that's packed into the word of God. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The first thing you need to understand is the miracle of salvation. That you are born again by the word of God. And that's why when we come into the house of God, even today, the same power that was available, the same power that was available that took you out of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of light is the same power that's being preached today. In the same way, when you received Jesus, some of you were children when you received the Lord. I was 2 years old. My mom took me aside and said, son, I want to talk to you. I don't know if she called me son. She probably didn't. She's my mom. She probably would have been like, hello, my little Ryanie, or something like that, right? But pulled me aside and started to tell me about how my brother had invited Jesus into his heart. And I said, what about mine heart? This is what she tells me. I don't remember it, but at 2 years old. And she prayed with me to receive Jesus. And I remember at 4 years old, walking up to an altar when I was 4 years old at my home in South Africa, at my home church back in South Africa, and walking up to an altar and making a public declaration that I chose to be a child of God. And I joke around and I say, man, when God met me, when God saved me, he delivered me. Man, I was illiterate. I couldn't even get dressed. I couldn't cook myself breakfast. I had no motor skills. Man, but the Lord saved me. He brought me out. I got a job now. I lead about a wife. Man, I can speak in public. Back then, I couldn't even pronounce my R's and T's right. But look at me now. Hey, look at me now. Praise God. He'll turn your life around for the good. But he saved me. Many of you have been born again at 4 years old. But the miracle of salvation, That when you made a decision to act on the word of God, the miracle that took place, the transfer, I say this, I taught a faith class and I say this, people have a difficult time believing God for their healing. And I say, you know, you've already received your greatest miracle. It's not healing, it's salvation. The fact that you were what the Bible calls a child of wrath, that you were the children of disobedience, headed for destruction, but by the power of God, by the incorruptible seed, by the seed of the word of God, you've been taken out of the kingdom of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the dear son of his love, the Bible says in Colossians. That you were removed, you did a 180 turn. You hear some of these songs and some of the lyrics they have, and it's like almost shameful. You know, I was in the world, but now life's, you know, it's getting better. And it's like, what do you mean getting better? Better is going from life is better with Jesus. No, what do you mean life is better with Jesus? That's like, man, if I go from a 40-inch TV to a 65-inch TV, that's better. Going from headed to hell to heaven, there's nothing like it. That's not better. What are you talking about, better? There was nothing good. Nothing good in my life happened before I was born again. There's nothing on planet Earth that's good. I heard a preacher say, there's nothing that the devil can give someone that has any permanent value. Because whatever pleasure they have, whatever thing that they think they have in this world, whatever riches they may have, in the end, it's going to be nothing. It's all going to be left behind. It's all going to be gone. And the only thing good, it comes from the hand of God, and it's called eternal life. When you went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that same power that was available then to take you from one category to the other is the same power that when the word of God is preached, you can grab a hold to the word and say, that's mine. Man, I'm taking that for me. I'm choosing to act on that word. That's why people miss out, is because they lightly esteem the word of God. They lightly esteem the word of God. I heard someone say that your dedication to the word of God shows your love for Jesus. Man, I love Jesus. Well, where's your word life? What are you filling your heart with? The King David in Psalm 119 said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The same power that brought you out of darkness, that brought you out of the kingdom of sin, is actually what will give you dominion over sin. People struggle for too long in their Christian walk, back and forth, in sin, out of sin, in sin, out of sin. We hear songs like, we fall down, but we get up, for a saint is just a sinner. This is why I'm not on the worship team. Who fell down? And we identify ourselves as sinners. But God doesn't say, there's nothing in the scripture that says we're sinners. Sinners falling down and getting back up. That's not the Bible. The Bible says we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That I went out of the category of sinner and into the category of righteous. And I choose, but people flip-flop dealing with sin. And it's because they haven't hidden the word in their heart. Man, I will hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Romans 6:14 says, sin shall no longer have the rule over you. There's nothing in your life. There's no addiction that you've been a part of. There's no addiction that's held you. There's no sin that's held you. That today, by the power of God, the shackles can't be broken. It's the day of deliverance. That's why Jesus said in Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. Every time the word of God is preached, it's the word to say, today is the day to come out. What's been holding you back? Today is the day to come out. What's been stopping you? What's been hindering you? Today is the day to come out. You know, the gospel is a gospel of power. This isn't a gospel of hanging on until Jesus comes back. This is a gospel of dominion. Man, I'm supposed to dominate the devil. I'm supposed to dominate in every part of my life. I'm supposed to take the word of God and that same power that translated me from darkness to light. You know, there's no competition between darkness and light. They don't even compete. It's not a tug of war where, like you see in these battles where they're going into these and there's... In every good action movie, there's a battle where they go in and like the good guy looks like he's losing and he gets shot and then he gets back up and he like just squeaks it out and he's like limping. That has nothing to do with our walk. There's no darkness. You know what happens when you walk into a dark room and you turn on the light? Darkness goes. There's no competition. Darkness flees. We are the light of the world. I got the light and the life of God on the inside of me. There's nothing on planet Earth, there's nothing that comes from the devil that should ever be able to even knock me over for 1 minute. Nothing that should even be able to knock me off for 30 seconds that I would say, man, this thing took me out. People go their whole life because they haven't hid the word of God in their heart. The same power that took you from an unbeliever, a sinner, and made you who you are, from sinner to saint, is the same power of God that's available today. And I want to tell you, you have to make up your mind. You have to decide for yourself, I'm not letting this thing stick around any longer. I'm choosing to take my place as a son of God, as a daughter of God. I refuse to be one of those people that just lets life happen to them. I'm going to be one of those that decides to cooperate with the Bible. That says, if the Bible says I'm going to have it, I'm going to have it. It's called an inheritance because it's ours now. We've been born into the family of God. Sure, we're waiting on things in heaven. We're hoping for things in heaven. And there's things we're looking forward to, the soon return of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. I know there's a home waiting for me in heaven. I got a home and I like it, but I'm not looking forward to having this amazing home here on this earth because it's not even going to compare to the one God has prepared for me. Real estate, there's not a single house on the planet earth that would compare to the house that God has put aside for me in heaven, waiting for me in heaven. And I'm going after that. And that's why here on this earth, I can say, you know what? There's things that I'm going to set aside and not care about because I care about the kingdom of God. So sure, there's things we're waiting for. But there's the other side of it, our inheritance. And I believe this is a church of people who say, you know what? If God says I'm going to have it, I'm going to have it. I'm not one of those that are going to let life happen to me, taking blows as they come, trying to hide the blows so we can seem spiritual. I'm coming to stand, and I'm standing on the word. I'm standing on the word. Sin will no longer have dominion over me. I don't care what happened to my family. I don't care if it was in the bloodline, they say. I don't care if they say it was hereditary. I'm not letting this sickness have its way in my life. I'm not letting this happen in me. I'm not letting this barren womb stay around anymore. He said I would be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. By God, I'm going to have children. I'm going to have a whole football team's worth in Jesus' name. Hey, I'm going to put, every time the devil told me I couldn't, I'm going to have another one. Bless God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The power of the word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It says it divides asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of a heart. Jeremiah 23:29 said, is not my word like as a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? We've been born again by the word. The same power that translated you, the greatest miracle you'll ever know, even greater than that day, and I believe we'll be the generation that sees the rapture of the church, even greater than all of us being raptured up into the sky and meeting Jesus in the air, in the clouds, even greater than that miracle, how God can deadlift so many Christians who've been eating Luby's cafeteria for lunch for so long, how he can get them straight up into the clouds. He's going to have to use some strength for the church at this point. But the even greater than that miracle is the miracle of salvation, the miracle that took place when you stepped out of darkness and became a child of light, when you went from a child of wrath. What polar opposites? That's the contrast of the gospel. That's the contrast. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. We could ask people to come and testify of who they were and who they now are, and we'd be here for days, people testifying. How many of you have a testimony of something that God pulled you out? Man, if you would have seen me before, you wouldn't have even believed it. Yeah, some people with their hands and their feet up in the air. But that's the power of God. And so every time the gospel is preached, the power, make a draw, place a demand on the power of God. If you on the inside say, God, I'm hungry today. Lord, speak to my spirit today. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about how Jesus gave gifts to the church. Jesus is a gift giver. Obviously, the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit, but it says he gave gifts to the church. If Jesus showed up to you and said, I've come to give you gifts, you say, okay, all right. You own a cattle on a thousand hill. What's my gift? And he says, I've given you five gifts, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, gifts to the church. That's why I esteem the man of God so much. He's God's gift to me for the building up of the church. That's why people who neglect to come to a local church do themselves wrong. They neglect to have a spiritual authority, do themselves wrong. You know, you'll see blessing in your life by choosing to be under authority. Hebrews 13, Paul uses this language. He says, obey them that have the rule over you. He didn't just say obey your leader. leader, it's easy to be like, well, he's my leader, but I'm not following anymore because he went down there. He says, obey them that have the rule over you. The pastor in the church, you need to be submitted where you say, you know what, I know he hears from God, and if I bring this person in, I say, this is the person I want to marry. And he says, listen, you're going to get yourself in trouble with this one. That I allow them to have the rule over me. You'll see the blessing from God. God has given you counsel. I know I'm not going to get a lot of amens on that. People don't want to have a rule over anything. Don't tell me, I'm a grown man. Don't tell me what to do. People don't want to, but this is put there by God. Jesus Christ counts pastors, evangelists, teachers, the fivefold gift as a gift from himself to the church. For what reason? For the building up of the saints. The building up of the saints. When you come today, the word of God comes to build you up, to bring you to a different level in your life, to bring you to a different level in freedom. The Bible talks about the manifestation of the sons of God. People in here who have been born but have stayed at a low level because that's what Christian culture told them to do. Said, oh, you can't be going around and affecting things for yourself. You can't be doing that. You know, the Bible talks about when you're sick, it says, he who is afflicted, let him pray. And then after that, it says, is there any left that's sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Yes, we believe in laying hands on the sick. But every Christian should have the word of God implanted in their heart that they don't immediately run for someone else to pray for them. But they say, God, I'm coming straight to you. You're my healer. I'm getting down on my knees before you. I'm not calling for the elders of the church. I'm going to wait. And I'm going to pray and believe to receive my healing from you for myself. Because if he's got your ear, I've got your ear. He's a child, but I'm a child. Lord, you died for my sickness, and you were wounded for my sickness just like you were for anybody else's, and I receive it. Place an expectation on the word of God. There's power in the word of God. I love that song. There is power, power, wonder. I don't know why I sing so much when I do this thing. I had aspirations to be in the choir when I was younger, and it just didn't work, and I've always just been ornery about it. The same power. Besides salvation, the same power is what God used at creation. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and it says, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and it says, but the Spirit of God brooded over the waters. The same power that God Almighty spoke, and he said, let there be light, is the same power that's pent up in the Word of God, that as the Word of God preaches, if you say, that's for me, I'll have that. In the same way that you called on the name of the Lord and said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. That same power that was made available to convert you from sinner to saint, from child to the devil. People have this idea that there's like the children of the devil, there's the Christians, and then there's a whole section of humanity who are good people but don't happen to believe in our world of religion. And it's not true. The Bible says that there's two courses. There's the course of this world and the course of our God. If you're not a child of God, you're a child of wrath by default. A child waiting for destruction but I'm a good person. I know you're a good person, but you're not a God person. You're not a born again person. There's two choices and there's no middle ground. You can't be neutral about the things of God. You know, I know I'm preaching to people who are at church today, but I'm just not very religious. You know, I just don't really do that too much. I just try it out. I just go here and there, but I don't take that stuff too seriously. This morning I was running and I wasn't running for no reason. It was for exercise. I wasn't running away from anything. I was just running. That's what you run. I used to be 240 pounds. I'm 170 now. And it wasn't muscle either, so don't get excited. It was just no muscle. But you got to exercise sometimes. The Bible says that the bodily exercise profits little, but that means it does profit some. So I'm out there. We out there. And I was running today, and I stopped, and I see this guy. And he's my age. You know, I've been called to preach the gospel, and so I take it seriously. And I'm running, and I got my earphones in, and I see this guy, and it's 7 o'clock in the morning. It's early. And I'm running, and I pass him, and I stop, and I say, hey, man, I want to tell you that God loves you. And then he's like, you know, yeah, I think I would go to heaven. I don't worry too much about whether God is real or not, but I just try to be a good person. And that's the doctrine of 2019 in this world. I try to be a good person. You know, I know there's many ways to God, and you can kind of just, but as long as you're a good person, they take the golden rule as it's like everything's judged on the golden rule. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. He's the bridge, and we got to cross over on him. And I began to share the gospel with him. And say, and you got to go hard with people, especially young people. You can't be like timid about it. You got to go hard in the paint when you talk to young people. You know, the Bible says that there's a day coming. And the Bible says that it's appointed to man to die once, and after this is a judgment. But Christ came to bear the sins of many. He paid the sin debt that no one else could pay for us. It doesn't matter if you have $100 million in the bank. The sin debt that you owe can only be paid by the blood of Christ. And I begin to preach the gospel. And I said, if you want to know for sure that when you stand before God, because it's nothing I can give you, I can only tell you about it. But it's something that Jesus Christ, he's the only one that could pay it. But just like if someone gave you two tickets, you have to receive them. And you have to open them and you have to receive the gift. It's the same way. You have to make a decision. For me, I'm choosing to serve God. And then pray this prayer with me. And he chooses. And that moment, Mike, I don't know his last name, but Mike decided to become a Christian and choose to confess Jesus Lord. And went from sinner to saint. Went from child of the devil to child of God. There is no middle ground. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that same power is available for you today. That as the anointed preaching goes forth, you choose to place a demand on the anointing like the woman with the issue of blood did and said, you know what, today I'm receiving it. You know the effect of the word of God in your body is healing. According to this, it says he purified your souls in obeying the truth. The effect of the word of God in your mind is washing. John 17:17, he said, you are now clean through the word that I've spoken to you. Many people go their lives and they're tormented by thoughts. But I want to tell you, but as you hide the word in your heart, the word actually washes your mind. Images and things that you've seen will be washed from your mind by the word of God. It's a time now where we do not have an option to not be people of the word, to not have time away with the word. Our time away with the word every day is our time with Jesus every day. He is the word. He in John 1:1 said the word was made, John 1:14 says the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That if we could see the word popped out for 30 years, died for our sins, took the penalty on himself and ascended up into heaven. And the same way that after that the Holy Ghost was given, if you want to receive from the anointing, if you want to receive from the presence of God, you got to receive from the word first. The word came first and then the Spirit came. The word came first and then the Spirit came. When you open your heart to the preaching of the word and you say, that's for me, the same power that took you from sickness, from sin, is available today by the preaching of the word. If we have a receiver in here, let me hear you give a shout of praise to God. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. The same power. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:3 that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. As God said, let there be light, and there was light. The worlds were framed by the word of God. So we begin to frame our words, our world, by the word of God. So we frame our world, and the same word that's preached will frame our word. Frame our worlds. The same word that's preached will frame our words. The same power that was made available in creation that could create everything we see is by the same power that's in this word. The same power that's in this word. I who choose to live by these words. Any area in your life that isn't what God had in his word, hide the word in your heart. People are nervous. Man, I just don't know. I'm not great with boldness. I'm not really bold. Find all the scriptures you can on boldness and hide them in your heart. Make them a part of your daily life. You know, I just have trouble in my thought life. Well, there's a good one that I know. We've been given the mind of Christ. Begin to hide the word of God in your heart. When I was younger, my dad died when I was 3 years old. He took his own life. And so that was always a soft spot for me. Man, suicide. Took his own life. And during my teenage years, the devil tried to come and tell me, you're going to be just like your father. You're going to be just like your father. Little thoughts. And he would say things like, you're going crazy. There's something wrong with your mind. You're going crazy. And there were actually moments where for a small second, I would feel like I'm going crazy. And the devil comes and whispers these things into your mind. For too many people, the devil's been whispering things into your mind. Whispering things. You'll never fulfill the call of God for your life. You'll never make it to heaven. I want to tell you, if you want to make it to heaven, you can make it to heaven. It's your choice. It's actually your choice. No one's making your hands do things you don't want them to do. You choose to go to heaven. You seek God. You abide in his word. You will make it to heaven. You will make it to heaven. But out of that, I had to make a decision. And I say, you know what, I can let this go, or I can find the word that says that I have the mind of Christ and begin to hide that word in my heart and begin to hide that word. And that's when I realized in the prophecy that I was given, the prophecy said to me, and you'll defeat the spirit that tried to torment your family. So now not only, hallelujah, man, the devil should have taken me out when he had a chance. J.D. Evangelist Jonathan said it last week. The devil's already taken his best swing at you, and you ain't done yet. You ain't done yet. God's going to use you in your family, In your nation, God's going to use you. In the area you've been attacked the greatest, he's going to make it your greatest strength. Hallelujah. Now I make it my aim to talk about it. It's the spirit of suicide being destroyed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The light of God shines and sets the captives free. Don't hide anything from God, because it doesn't matter what you've come in with, that a moment that God can't turn around. It took God 6 days to create all of the heavens and all of the earth. What can he do in your life in 6 seconds, in 60 minutes today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything we see in Jesus' life, people, I say it like this. Jesus was the perfect human, but he was the example of what our life as Christians should be like. Everything that Jesus walked in is the example of what our life as Christians should be like. Complete healing. Complete freedom. Hearing from the voice of God. Man, I just have trouble hearing from the voice of God. What does the word say? He says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of the stranger they won't follow. As Tim said, acting on the word of God, but choosing to find the word of God. So many people with the word sit with the word of God up here, and it never settles down into their heart. You know, the word should produce an expectation in your life. An expectation in your life. I wake up every day so excited. It's not normal to be that joyful, they say. Man, you don't know. Man, have you met my father? You don't even know. He owns the cattle zone. I don't worry about money. Everything. I'm set for life. I serve the living God. I serve the living God. Man, I'm rich and I'm getting richer. I'm strong and I'm getting stronger. I'm full of the life of God. We take the word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24 that the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. Your expectation shall not be cut off. So what you actually expect to happen by the Bible will happen, whether good or bad. Your expectation. You need to take the word of God and put it in your heart where you begin to expect good from the Lord. The Bible says in Job chapter 36, he said, if they obey and serve me, they'll spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Days in prosperity and years in pleasures. That's my life. That's my life. I'm not going up to people. That's why these doctrines, you have to actually make up your mind what you believe. What do you believe and why? Because these doctrines come. You know, you have a good year, but then the Lord takes you to the mountaintop and to bring you through the valley. That's not actually in the Bible. They hung out in the wilderness because of their hardness of heart. As long as your heart is not hard. Do you know what a hard heart is? Yeah, I'm going to help you with some faith things. You know what a hard heart is? It's one that hears the word and chooses not to mix faith with it. That's a hard heart. You know, in Mark 4, where he talks about the parable of the sowers, and Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how can you understand anything else? It's the seed that fell on ground that the devil already, the birds came and ate it, is when the word is preached and you cancel yourself out for whatever reason, and you choose not to mix faith with that. When a preacher preaches the word, it will not benefit you without mixing faith to it. And even it's on the inside. I sit there in my seat, and I hear the word preached, and I say, he says 100 millionaires, and I say, and I'm one of them. And I'm one of them. You know the word confession? People don't like, oh, you got to have your daily confessions. People get bored with that stuff. Your daily confessions. You know what the word confess actually means? It means to acknowledge and to own. It means to own it. To own it. I was sitting in my dentist chair the other day getting a teeth cleaning. And they always ask, any changes in your health? And before I even thought it, she said, are there any changes in your health? I'm like, yeah, I'm healthy and I'm getting healthier every single day. And she just laughed. And I was like, because most people are like, yeah, you know, I'm going through this thing and I've got these hemorrhoids and it's been terrible. Like, if you're in at the dentist, you can probably leave that one out. That's probably okay to let that one slide. But we choose and we set an expectation in our heart by the word of God. An expectation by the word of God. I wake up and the devil says, this is going to be what's going to happen. And we don't know it's the devil. We just think it's our thoughts. You know, it's not your thoughts that are doing that. That's the devil. Those are those fiery arrows. This is going to be a tough month for you. It's going to be a tough year. And we don't even want to say it. But we begin then to take the word of God and hide it in our hearts and say, not only this, but I'm going from glory to glory. And sorrow free too. Man, I don't want to be rich in the kingdom of hell. It's better to be middle income if you're going to serve the devil than it is to be rich if you're going to serve the devil, because there's too many sorrows that go with it. That's a fact. The Bible says for the rich, though, that for the children of God, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. Sorrow outside, riches outside the kingdom of God are full of sorrows. You do not want them. Riches inside the kingdom of God that are aimed at affecting the kingdom of God, Sorrow-free. I live a sorrow-free financial life. Seriously. Sorrow-free. I'm rich and I'm getting richer. Hey, I'm making it my aim. You know what I've set my eyes on? I'm going to give a $100,000 check into this ministry. I've seen myself write it out already. And when that one's done, it'll be $500,000. I've got my faith out there. I don't care what anyone else does. I've chosen to engage this word for my life. If not for you, then who? If you're not going to have it, then who is it meant to be? Who is this inheritance meant to be? I believe the reason part of the tears will be wiped away is people will get to heaven and say, I could have had health. I could have had it on this earth and I didn't because I wanted to be whatever. People think it's humility to not. Humility is not accepting the blessing of God. That's not humility. That's false humility. Humility is actually saying if the word says that I'm going to have it. I don't feel bold, but humility says the righteous are bold as a lion. It's who I am. I can't help but be bold. It's who I am. Because I got a lion living on the inside of me. I can't help but be bold. I can't help but be blessed because God is my Father. I can't help but be stress-free because the Spirit of the Lord is on the inside of me. I don't worry about nothing. I'm going from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, Joshua chapter 1. I want you to see this, verse 5, Joshua 1, 5. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. God has a plan that in every area of your life, no one will be able to stand against you. No enemy that comes against you will be able to stand against you. And the weapon that we have is the word of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, it's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. Christians, unfortunately, have taken one verse and taken it out of context. Now, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Yeah, wait on the Lord. God has already, there's certain things we're waiting on. You know, that scripture actually isn't talking about that to begin with. But waiting on the Lord is things that are waiting. We're waiting for his return. We're not waiting on the Lord for things that are ours. We got to do battle with the word. Christians have become good waiters, but bad fighters. We were born to fight. Why would God give us a sword if we were not meant to fight? Why would he give us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? I look at the life of Jesus. Can you look at the life of Jesus? Who was on the offensive and who was on the defensive? Here the devil is, wherever he was. And you know, one of his little minions runs back to him and is like, oh, Lucifer, there's this man in Galilee, and I don't know where he came from, but he's tiring us out. Every time we take on another vessel, he casts us out. We've been working on people. There was that one lady who was bent over for 37 years. We've been working on her for so long. He came in one moment, flipped the script, and now she's walking free. We don't know what to do. Maybe I can bring 5 or 6 more. We can try to go back. I don't know. He just, everywhere he goes, we were built to be on the offensive. We were built to be taking ground for the kingdom of God. Make up your mind to be a wrecking ball for the kingdom of God. I will have dominion in this area. I will walk in power here on this earth. I will do it. I will do it. Lord, I heard Pastor John, he was a pastor here, and he said, avail yourself to the Lord. And it's as simple as that. You say, Lord, I'm available. Use me. But begin to search the scriptures. This is going to be mine. This is going to be mine, and it'll build an expectation in your heart, an expectation in your heart from good. He said in the scripture that I'll never stop doing good for them all the days of their life. That's my scripture. Every day I wake up, all right, what's the good from the hand of the Lord? How many upright people do we have in this place? Walk before God uprightly. The Bible says in Psalm 84, it says, the young lions, oh, that's another one, lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. It says, for the upright people, that the Lord will not withhold any good thing to those who walk uprightly. You've guaranteed yourself a life of good things from the hand of God by walking uprightly before him. Guaranteed. Christians have a guaranteed life. My life is guaranteed. I guarantee you, I'll never be broke. If I'm broke, I'm backslidden. You can mark my words. If I'm broke, that's a fact. If I'm broke, I'm backslidden. I'll never be broke. Why? Because this is the word and this is my provision and I serve the Lord God. I'll either be backslidden or I'll no longer be a soul winner, one of the two, which is the same thing. It's the same thing. If you're not a soul winner, you're in the same category as backslidden. That's a fact. It's the Great Commission and that's for everybody, every disciple, the Great Commission. That's the great, of all the commandments I've given you, of all the things I've sent you to do, this is it. You're in a church here that wins souls, and I'm grateful to be a part of this church that poured into me that if I'm not preaching the gospel, I'm doing it wrong as a Christian. It's not for a certain amount of people. It's for those who call themselves disciples of Christ. Hallelujah. The same power. I'm going to move forward here, but God has a plan for you. The second part is how to receive. We receive by meditation. I'm going to give you a couple practical things, but begin to take the scriptures and hide them in your heart. Begin to meditate on them before you go to bed. Before you go to bed, take a scripture. What scripture? What is it? Is it healing in your body? Take a scripture. Lord, surely you have borne my sicknesses and carried my pains. Himself, Matthew 8:17, bore our sicknesses and carried our pains, bore our infirmities and carried our pains. Lord, I thank you that I'm one of those that you took my sicknesses from me. Lord, I thank you. Hide the word in your heart. Begin to meditate on the word of God. The power of God, the power of the word of God will burn up anything in your life. It'll turn it to any situation, a bad marriage. Lord, I ask you to draw me closer to you. Draw us closer to you and draw us closer to each other at the same time. There was a time in my life where my brother and I, we've always been good friends, but then he became my boss, and I started to pray to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I feel like he's my boss more than my brother, and our friendship wasn't actually there. This was back in 2012, and I began to pray, Lord, as draw him to yourself as you draw and draw us together at the same time. And I said this, Lord, I think my brother should be my best friend. I think my brother should be my best friend. Little did I know that we'd be working together. He was my boss for, 10 years, and we still get to work together now in a different capacity. When we realized today we were both, a couple days ago, we were both preaching, I'm like, we're still working together. It's funny how this works. We're in the ministry here, but still working together, working for the kingdom of God. Man, I get such a joy of destroying the works of darkness. Every time I get to preach the gospel, that's the purpose of the gospel, to break down the works of darkness. Get to preach the liberating power of God. God has set you up for success in every area of your life. God has set you up for abundance in every area of your life. God has set you up not only to be a person who walks free of sickness, but a person who carries the power of God. Dominion in an area is where you can actually affect other people. Not only do I have my health, but he said that he'll take sickness and disease out of my midst. So when I walk into a room, sickness actually leaves because I've walked in. I am the principality. I am the child of God. I walk in the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know why I get people to say hallelujah with me? It's because it's your confession. Ah, that's for me. Amen. So be it for me. So be it for me. People say, oh, it's not my personality. I'm a quiet person. Hey, this is God's thing. He said it this way. Amen. Let me hear you. Amen. So be it for me. That's mine. I'll have that. You know, there's grace on every word of God. Every word of God that comes forth, there's grace on that. You felt it earlier today. The second half will be greater than the first half. And you, I got the grace for that. Praise. I'll take that. That's for me. Hallelujah. Faith is tangible. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith, you know, the reason why people a lot of times don't receive is because their faith in their hearts don't match the words in their mouth. And so they're saying things that they don't actually believe. They want to believe, but they don't believe. And so they say it. Until your faith in your heart matches the words in your mouth, you won't have it. And that's why meditation becomes so important. So when we talk about confession, I'm not saying if you say this 700 times in a day, you're going to have it. I'm saying when you believe it and you say it even one time, you will have it. You will have it. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, he said, and you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. As long as your faith is actually a substance, a tangible substance in your heart, and you have it. Man, before we had our house paid off, I had my house paid off in my heart. And I remember the day, 1 month before it was paid off, I'd been praying about it, but I remember the day standing there and reading that scripture that I say to this mountain. And so I stopped asking God, and I stopped, and I said, Lord, I believe, according to your word, you said to owe no man anything but to love him. And that you said you would equip me with everything I need to do your will. And that I would owe, and then you said I would be the lender and not the borrower. I know it's your will, and not only that, but you will equip me with what I need to be debt free. And I stood there in my office downstairs, and I say, I speak to this mountain of debt on this house, this $80,000, and I command you to be moved now in Jesus' name. And I had it in my heart. And then I rejoiced, and from that day forward, I rejoiced. And it was not even a month until this $80,000 check came floating my way. It said, no more mortgage at the bottom. I want to tell you, as you choose and you hide the word in your heart, you don't have to believe every scripture, but start with one. And say, you know what? I'm going to walk in victory in this area. For a lot of people, this is the key. You've been on the edge of breakthrough for so long, but you haven't known. You've been saying things out of your mouth. But I heard someone say, before they go into prayer, before they even ask God for anything, they meditate on the scripture until they fully believe it. And the moment it becomes reality to them in their spirit, then they say, Father, I come before you on account of this word. It's called word preparation. You prepare the word in your heart to then pray. Too many people go in and they throw up a prayer. Lord, I thank you for this according to your word, this. And then they let it go and they think the fact that they don't think about it. There needs to be a substance. That's why rejoicing is so powerful. It's because my rejoicing shows that I've already got it hidden in my heart. I've already got the rest of my debt paid for in Jesus' name. I've already got the open doors in Jesus' name. I've already got what it takes to be one of those 100 millionaires in Jesus' name. It's already on the inside of me. I've hidden the word in my heart and it's become my reality. This is who I am. For a lot of people, it needs to be 2 Corinthians 5, new creature in Christ. What does that mean, a new creation? You know what that means? It's a brand new species. People think it's just a do-over. Well, I've made mistakes, and now I get to start back at 0 years old, and I'm a new. No, it's actually a new species. You know, I want to tell you that our species as Christians are actually resistant to disease. It's impossible for me to get sick. It's impossible for me to die young from disease. Impossible. Because I'm a child of God. If it couldn't go on Jesus right now sitting in heaven, it can't get on me. Because I'm a child of God. That sounds like boasting. No, I'm a child of God. This is my inheritance from my Father. My Father did this for me. My Father did this for me. We got to become aggressive. Even now as the word of God is preached, the Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend unto my word. You want to know the effect of the word going forth? Even right now, attend unto my word. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart, because they'll be life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Your bodies are being healed even as I preach, because the word is packed with power. The same power that will save souls today and bring people back reconciled to their Father is going forth even right now. Lift your hands all over this place. I speak to bodies right now. I speak to bodies to be healed in Jesus' name. I speak to minds to be washed in Jesus' name. I speak to bodies and minds to be purified in Jesus' name. Heavenly health in Jesus' name. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke infirmities in the name of Jesus. I release the healing power of God into this place even right now. Cancer goes in Jesus' name. Health comes in Jesus' name. Even hemorrhoids go in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for it. Healing comes in Jesus' name. The life of God into believers, that today will be the last day they carry around sickness. Today will be the last day they carry disease. Infirmity, I command you to go. Spirits of infirmity, I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Health to come in Jesus' name. Reach out and receive it. Confirm it. Confess it with your mouth. Jesus, you're my healer. Say, Jesus, you're my healer. Thank you, Jesus. Today to be the last day for depression. Spirits of a depression, addictions, broken in Jesus' name. Spirits of suicide, broken in Jesus' name. I set you free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Free to serve God. Free to receive joy. Free to receive the life of God. Healed from head to toe in Jesus' name. Born of the Spirit of God. Born of hope. Born of victory. April to be your best month. I bless businesses in this place. Businesses multiplied in Jesus' name. Here's the word of the Lord. Be fruitful and multiply in Jesus' name. A month of multiplication in Jesus' name. A year of multiplication in Jesus' name. No more addition. Times of multiplication in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to wrap up with this. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat its fruit. The truth is, until you have a belief in your heart, there's no point in speaking. When the moment there's a belief in your heart, this is my portion. This is what I was born again for. At that moment, you open your mouth and you speak. Evangelist Jonathan told a story last week about a time when he was in a stadium and they got everyone to stand up and to say, I or someone I love will be affected by cancer. And you know, that's the plan of the devil, is to get you to speak. You know the difference between an angel and a human? Is angels can't create or multiply. The devil's a fallen angel. When he was cast down to earth and Adam was placed in the garden, the devil knew he couldn't, that Adam was given dominion. He couldn't take him one-on-one. But he said, if I can get my curse that I've been cursed with in his mouth, I'll be able to corrupt the whole human race. If I can get my curse on his tongue, if I can, through tempting him, through disobeying a command of God, get him to curse himself. In that stadium, when that took place, when Evangelist Jonathan told that story, that was the devil enacting cancer in those people's families. The very fact, you know why Jesus said that we'll be held accountable for every idle word spoken? Is because every single word creates. Every single word creates. Man, I don't know. It just seems like it's going to be a down year. Welcome to your down year. But then the moment you understand that every word, and that's why idle words, even when it looks the opposite, you choose by the power of God. Even when there's darkness, there's still the Holy Ghost waiting. And God is saying, let there be light. And you say, you know what? Not only is it not going to be the worst year, it's going to be the best year. Not only am I coming through this sickness, but not only that, I'm going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. I'm going to use this against the devil. I'm going to make him regret the day he ever tried to do this to my family. The day that he made my father take his own life, he's going to regret the day that he ever did that. Because there's a little bit of vengeance on there, a whole lot of vengeance on the inside of me. That says until now, until the day that Jesus comes back, I'm going to use a microphone and I'm going to use my voice. And I'm going to make sure that everyone knows that every good thing that's ever happened has come from God. And every bad thing that's ever happened has come from the devil. But if you make a decision and you say, I'm serving God, that blessings are yours, eternal life is yours, health is yours, and you are a child of God. I'm going to make the devil pay. We got a room full of people here that say, I'm going to use my voice to make the devil pay for what he's done. Not only am I not going down, I'm going over, and I'm taking people with me. Not only am I coming through this, I'm bringing others with me, and I'm going to beat the devil with it all the days of my life. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Hey. God has given you your tongue as a heavenly equipping. God has given you your tongue as a way, even if it's one scripture that you've got in your heart. He says, Psalm 81:10, he says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Every time, there's three areas we use our tongue. It's in prayer. You know, Jesus looked at Peter and said, Simon, Satan has desired you to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Jesus doesn't do things just to do them. Jesus' prayer is what made it that Simon, after he denied him, stayed in the faith. He said, when you're converted, strengthen the people. When you pray, when we come into these all-night prayers, when you take time to pray, you do not understand your loved ones that are coming into the kingdom of God because of your prayers. Because every time, he says, that's why the model prayer was, Lord, your kingdom come. Your tongue is the conduit that brings heaven to earth. Lord, it doesn't matter what it actually looks like. Anything that's against your word is a lying vanity. It's a circumstance, but it can't last. The word of God lasts forever. So I connect my tongue to the word of God, and I bring heaven's will down to this earth. Not only, I know they're backslidden now, but not only are they coming back, but they're going to preach the gospel. And many people will come, many backslidden will come into the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you. And begin to pour out your heart in prayer. The second place is acknowledging. There's a scripture in Matthew, and it says, I'll read it to you. It says, Matthew 10:32-33, and we've always taken it for salvation, but he says, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Jesus is the word. And so many people, they say it, but the moment they get in public, they deny the word of God. You have to be, anything that you want to see in your life, you have to be willing to stand up for in public. Fact, stand up for in public. Be comfortable being out in public saying, they ask you about your health. It's actually impossible for me to get sick. And they'll look at you and they'll think you're crazy, but be willing to stand up for it. Because there's Jesus in heaven who's saying the moment they start acknowledging me publicly, the moment you give God credit publicly, yes, I know I'm blessed, but you know what? I would be nothing if it wasn't for Jesus. Everything I have has come from. He's in heaven saying, so shall it be. So enacting the will of God, as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. If you're not willing to stand up for it, I ask my wife this so many times, what level of prosperity are we comfortable standing up for in public? Because it's all we'll have. You won't have it if you're not willing to stand up for it. If you get uncomfortable and you say, oh, you know, it's good, but you know, people speak prosperity in the quiet time and then speak poverty in the public. Yeah, I got it, but someone gave it to me. Like, stop doing that stuff. Stop playing poverty with your mouth. Yeah, I got it, but it was on sale. I got a great deal. So what? Yes, we get good deals, but bless God, he did it. He did it. I was homeschooled from Africa, no father, and God brought me into business. Made six figures 10 years in a row. Homeschooled, no business degree, homeschooled. Came to RBI. But it wasn't me, it was the anointing of God upon me and the fact that I gave. I was at 15 years old giving everything that I would earn into the building fund. I had a $1,000 building fund pledge. You can't be generous to God and not bless back. But if I'm going to stand up here and be like, well, you know, it was good, but this, this, and this. It's all by the grace of God. Be willing to acknowledge it publicly. I'm healed and whole. If you cannot say it with your mouth, you can't hold it in your hands. Fact. If you can't say the type of car you actually want, you can't have it. If you can't get yourself to say it, not only am I going to do this, but I'm going to go all around the world and preach the gospel. I'm going to become a household name. I had to agree with that prophecy for my life. Until I did, it would never happen. And so you begin to say it. And then the last thing is praise. And I can't spend time here, but it's praise. Praise, this would be a whole message by itself. But I want you to tell, I'll leave you with this. Praise, actually, there's a response from the earth to your praise. The Bible says in Psalm 67, let the people praise him, let all the people praise him, and the earth shall yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. When you get a chance, any chance you get, praise God with all your heart. God called David a man after his own heart, and he was the one who danced because of the presence of the Lord. Choose to be a person who engages in heartfelt praise to God. Man, if you knew the gift of God on your life, the fact that when we stand before him, we're going to get to spend eternity. He deserves all the praise anyway. But praise actually elicits a response from planet Earth to you in the form of abundance when you praise. God, I bless you. This is going to be the best month ever. Lord, I thank you. You said whatever I put my hand to prospers. Lord, you are more than enough. Ah, you're a good God. Lord, I bless you today. You're Jehovah Jireh. And begin to praise and engage your mouth. The word of God is nigh you even in your mouth. Isaiah 3, he said, say to the righteous, it'll be well with him. He didn't just say, the righteous, it'll be well with you. He said, say to the righteous, it'll be well with him. Well, the moment the word settles down into our heart and our tongue matches up with what's in our spirit, all of a sudden we begin to create. We begin to create. You'll see, what do you want April to look like for you? What do you want April to look like for you? What do you want 2019? You have to fight. This is the sword of the spirit. This is how you do your fighting. We're in a battle. We're in the last days. Many people, God has put calls on your life, calls on your heart to preach the gospel. You need to begin to align your heart and your mouth with it, no matter how crazy it seems. Align your heart and your mouth with it. Be by yourself. For those in Bible school, be by yourself after, before school, and hiding the word in your heart. This is our only victory. If you got a Bible, hold it up for me. Your phones. I see phones going up, iPads going up. Couple Nintendo 64s. Say, this is my victory. I was born again by the word. I continue by the word. I live by the word. I prosper by the word. Everything in this book belongs to me. And it's all full of the power of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want every head bow. I'm going to ask for every head bow and every eye closed in this place. You know, the truth is that God has done so much for every single person in here. He's paid the highest price. The whole situation we're in on planet Earth is a good versus evil. The devil has you on one course and God wants you on another. And the intervention came 2,000 years ago at Nazareth, where Jesus died. At Calvary, Jesus died on the cross and paid the price so you can be reconciled to God. Before you can even begin to live a life of victory, the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his own soul? Your soul is worth more than all the real estate of the entire earth put together in God's eyes. And today, he throws you a rope, he throws you a lifeline to say, come and make Jesus your Lord and Savior and get back into communion with God. I'm going to make a call here. And there's three categories of people in this place. This call is for three different categories of people. Number one, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Everything else is loss, but gaining Christ. In light of eternity, any accomplishment on earth, any name we make for ourselves, anything that we can do is considered loss if you don't have Jesus. The number one most important decision you'll ever make is to make Jesus Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never received Jesus into this place, today is the day to make that decision for him to be your Lord and Savior. It's only by him that you can make heaven. There's no other way. Maybe you're in this place and you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but if you're going to be honest, you know you're not serving God the way you should. Jesus said, be hot or cold, but if you're in the middle, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. He wants hot, on fire people, not people in the world, not people living in sin. Maybe you've allowed sin in your life. This call is for you. Come back into fellowship with God. Today is the day to return to you, to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to get it right. Don't leave any sin in your heart or in your life unrepented. Today's the day to get it right. This call is for you. Or maybe you're in this place and you're just not sure of your salvation. The devil lies to you. He tells you that you're not saved, but you want to make sure. You want to enter into the freedom of knowing, man, I'm going to heaven. God wants every believer to be like Joshua, to say, it doesn't matter what anyone else does. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Some people just need to know for a fact that they're serving God. And this call is for you. So if you fit into any of those three categories, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to, on the count of three, raise your hand. But if you're in this place and you've never received Jesus, or you need to get your heart right, there's been sin in your life, you're not hot on fire for God, or maybe you need to make sure, then on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Raise your hand in this place. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you. All over this place. Raise your hand now. Today is the day of salvation. You know, when God calls you, it's important to respond right away. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you. I see your hands. You know, the truth is that the Bible says that God knows everything. Nothing is hidden from him. And so God gives you an opportunity. He sees everything every way. You can't hide anything from God. But God gives you an opportunity to make him the Lord of your life, to come and confess it, to humble yourself. The entrance to heaven is paved with humility, to say, Lord, I've messed up, but I want to get it right. Anyone else, raise your hand. I want everyone in this place to look at me. If you're in this section here and you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included in that prayer, I'm going to pray. We'll pray with you and for you. Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. If you're in the middle section or in the pie back here, go ahead and raise your hand. If you want to be included in the prayer, but you didn't raise your hand, raise your hand. Thank you. I see many hands going up. Today is the day of salvation. It's time to get it right. God's given you a fresh chance. Many people, they're too close to the line. You can't play around with the borders. Man, I can do this and be a Christian. I can do this. I can sleep around and be a Christian. You can't play those games. Time is too short. God is looking for holy people. If you're in this place and you want to be included in that prayer, I'm going to pray. You didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included. Raise your hand. I'll pray with you and for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. All across this room, wave your hand, then I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Go ahead and stand. Hallelujah. We're going to pray together. And come down to the front. Once you've stood, come and join us at the front. We're going to pray for you in this middle section. Hallelujah. Today's the day. He said if you confess him before men, he'll confess you before the Father. Come on down. If you raise your hand and you're standing, come on down to the front. Come join me at the front. There's more people. Come and join us. Come and join us. Come and join us. Keep clapping as they're coming. Come and join us. If you're sitting in your seat, turn to the person next to you and say, hey, if you need to be up there, I'll go up there with you. Everyone in your seats, turn to the person next to you. If you need to be up here, I'll go up there with you and bring them up here. The most important decision in your life is getting your heart right with God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Most important decision you can make. This isn't a shameful thing. This is a glorious thing. This is us deciding, I'm taking the rope that God has thrown me. I will go to heaven. I don't care what it costs me. It takes a little bit of selfishness sometimes to say, I don't care what anyone else is doing. I will serve God. I will serve God. I believe there's one or two more in this place that didn't raise your hand. How do you know? Yeah, come on. How do you know your heart is beating fast right now? If you're having to convince yourself why this call is not for you, this call is for you. Come and make a decision to serve Jesus. He's already paid the price. Don't miss out on what he's already done. He died. We have to humble ourselves and repent. We get the easy part, but come and humble yourselves. You're in a room full of people that are going to heaven, and we want you there with us. Come and join us. I'm going to leave this altar open for another 30 seconds before we pray. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Your heart's beating. That's how you know. Beating like this. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. As I preach, he convicts hearts. Why? Because God loves you. Because God loves you. That's why. If it's beating, you got to know two things. God loves you, but it's time to respond. God loves you, but it's time to respond. Come and respond. Come and join us at the front. All right. Hallelujah. I want everyone up here to close your eyes. Lift your right hand to heaven. And say this, and I'm going to get you to repeat after me, but I want you to mean it with your whole heart. This is you talking to the creator of the universe, God Almighty, the only one who you can pray this prayer to. Say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, wash me in your blood. I believe you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for welcoming me into your family. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. Father, today, I choose to serve you. The old days are gone. I am yours. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.